Shalom Aleichem to everybody. Welcome back. Great to be here together to share Divrei Torah. Hope you had a wonderful week, a productive and successful week. You are joining me in what is the largest live audience that I've had in 10 weeks. I'm here with my family members listening to this shiur. It's a major event in the Walter home. Most exciting thing that's happened all day here. I won't tell you about other things that have happened today, but this is a pretty exciting one. Of course, this is Shabbos, Parshas Chazak. We finished Sefer Vayikra together, Parshas Bahar and Bechukosai. Parshas Bechukosai, read the brachos and klalos, the blessings and curses. But this is not the only time we have brachos and klalos, because at the end of Sefer Dvar and Parshas Kisav, we again read the brachos and klalos there as well. And the Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Alfam Beis, notes that there are two basic distinctions between the klalos in this week's parsha and the klalos in Parshas Kisavo. Number one, the klalos in Parshas Bechukosai, which we will read this Shabbos, are said from a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly to Klal Yisrael, as opposed to the klalos in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Kisavo are said via Moshe Rabbeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what to say, but it wasn't God, Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself articulating the klalos, but it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and Moshe in turn to Klal Yisrael. Distinction number two is that here in Parshas Bechukosai, the klalos and the brachos are said b'loshon rabim, in the plural, to all of Jewry, as opposed to the klalos and brachos in Parshas Kisavo, which are said in the singular, b'loshon yachid. But the Orachayim HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Ben Attar, in his classic commentary, the Orachayim notes at the end of Parshas Kisavo, Perek Chav Ches, that there's actually a third distinction, besides the two that the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph. And that is, if you look at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, following the curses, the klalos, there's psukim of nechama. There's words of comfort from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and consolation. But at the end of Parshas Kisavo, after the klalos, there are no psuki nechama, there's no consolation, there's no comfort. We finish the klalos and show over the parshas completed. Asks the Orachayim HaKadosh, why here in Parshas Bechukosai there psuki nechama? Why is there words of consolation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to in Parshas Kisavo where there's no words and no divrei tanchumim at all? And the Orachayim HaKadosh answers a powerful and very basic and fundamental answer. And he says, here in Parshas Kisavo, when we're speaking to Klal Yisrael, to all Jewry, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu can guarantee a nechama. Because when we're together, even when we misbehave, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekalel us, afterward HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I guarantee you that I will be with you, and I will take care of you, and I'll be by your side, even when I do curse you. There will come a point in time that Klal Yisrael is a unit, that Tzibur, we will see and hear nechama, comfort. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of Parshas Kisavo, tells Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to yechidim, individuals, there's no guarantee that a yachid will receive nechama, comfort after klala, after curses. And in the language of the Orachayim HaKadosh, he says, Kilo nemra nechama el beklala, shim leklalos Yisrael. There's only nechama when we speak to all klal Yisrael. This week's parsha, Parshas Bechukosai. Kilo yazvim lechalosam, Kadosh Baruch Hu will never leave us high and dry. There will always be an end of days. There will always be a nechama and consolation. Vishyizkul and brisavosam gaimiskor, as Kadosh Baruch Hu will remember the covenant that he gave Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he'll remember that he promised and guaranteed us that he'll send us to Eretz Yisrael. Mashein ken hayechidim, as opposed to individuals, that's Parshas Kisavo. Ki yarshiu eish tochlam ad olam. When an individual doesn't do what he or she is supposed to do, it's possible that there will never be nechama for that person. And what the Orachayim HaKadosh is really teaching us is that when Klal Yisrael is together as a unit, as a group, as a tzibur, even when we're marshia, even when there are klalos and curses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll take care of you, I'll save you. Klal Yisrael are guaranteed that there'll be an achras ayamim, that there'll be a destiny, that we're headed somewhere and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with us. But a yachid never receives that guarantee. No individual can ever be promised and guaranteed that there will be a future and that there'll be nechama. And this speaks to the Jewish people in a most powerful way, because when we're together, when we're united, when we're one front, when we're at Tziba, when we're Mis'achid, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, even though I'm sending you klalos, I'm sending you curses, there'll be nechama to follow. But if we're disparate, we're separate, we're splintered, then a Kadosh Baruch will not guarantee a nechama, will not give us the consolation that we need. And therefore what emerges from the Orachayim HaKadosh is when Klal Yisrael is together as a unit, when we are really bound together, strong and secure, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us nechama even after such painful, difficult klalos that are articulated and elicited in Parshas Bechukosai. Probably never ever in our lives did Parshas Bechukosai feel so real. The klalos, the psukim, the curses come alive after some of the experiences that we've been going through the last months. But know well, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's nechama to follow when we act together as a tzibur, as a unit. But when we're separate, when we're different, when we're unable to work together, when there's internal fighting and we're unable to be ma'achid as a tzibur, as a group, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, I can't send you nechama. And this pshat of the Rechaim HaKadosh is very reminiscent of an unbelievable commentary, the Sforna, the end of Parshas Noach, with the Dor HaFlaga, trying to build the Migdal Bavel. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to come down upon the Migdal, upon this great tower. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hein Am Echa, they are one nation. V'Safa Achas L'Kulam, they're speaking one language. V'Zeh HaChilom Lasos, and this is what they're thinking to do, to build this tower, to be fighting God. V'Ata Li'Yivatzer Mem Kol Asher Yozmu Lasos. And Rashi understands those words to mean, can it be God says that I'm going to allow them to be successful? Rashi, Lashon Bitmia. V'Ata Li'Yivatzer Mem Kol Asher Yozmu Lasos. Can I allow them to be successful? They're fighting me. How can I allow them to succeed? You take a look in the Sforno, and the Sforno argues on Rashi. He says, that's not the pshat in the Pasuk. It's not a question. You rather read the Pasuk as follows. Hein am echad v'safa echas l'kulam. They're one nation speaking in unanimously. V'zeh hachilom lasos, and this is what they want to do, to build a migdal bavel, a tower. V'ata lo yibotzer mehem kol asher yozmu lasos. It's a fact. It's not a question. If they're together, if they're united, if they're am echad and safa echad, I can't stop them. They're unstoppable. Because when people are united and when they're together, and when they're able to come together to accomplish a goal, I can't stop them. I can't. It's impossible. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the bandwidth to stop such a people. And it's a pshat in the pasuk, it's a fact, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Rishayim, even evildoers, when they get together, I can't stop them. Think of Nazi Germany, the evil, the rishus that they did. But they were united, they were clear. They knew what they wanted to do. And when people have a plan, even if it's wicked, nasty, terrible, if they're united, if they're safa achas, one language, am echad, one people, atal yibatzim kol hashiyazam lasos, I have no stake, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't stop them. And kol shekein, if evildoers are able to succeed and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stop them, if they want to bring down God and fight God, kol shekein v'kol shekein kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer. Certainly, certainly, if we're together, if we're a unit, if Klal Yisrael comes together as a tzibur, as a team, as a united front, as am echad, then there's no question that we could be successful, receive the nechama, and we'll receive bounty, success, parnasa, geula, all of the things that we need. And of course, that's what happens in the end of Parshas Vayechi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the brothers come together in unison. And Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, on his deathbed, tells his sons, come together. He's going to be Megaleh, Keitz Hayom, in the end of the days. Yaakov Avinu, the father of all fathers, the Av of the Yud Beis Shiftei Ka, on his deathbed, is going to tell Reuven, tell Yosef and Binyamin, what life is going to look like, and when Mashiach is going to come, and when the salvation is going to come. But what's the word that he invites them to come? Hey, Asfu, come together. Ve'agid lechem ma'yeh b'achres hayamim. If you gather together, brothers, if Yosef Binyamin can get together with Reuven, Shimon, and Yehuda, if you're a team, if you're 12 brothers who are united, you're not fighting anymore, you're not throwing each other in the pit, and there's no more disparity and in-house fighting, and you're together, hey Asfu, ve'agid lechem ma'yeh b'achres hayamim. Then I could tell you what's going to be at the end of the days. But only if it's hey Asfu, says the Sfas Emes. If you're together as a team, if you're a united front, if you're a family, if you bond together, then I can teach you. Then I can share with you what's going to be at the end of the days, because the end of the days can only come. The prerequisite for the Gula is if there's Achdus, if there's partnership, if there's unity, if there's camaraderie, if there's friendship.
that the Nechama comes, says the Rechaim HaKadosh. That, says the Sforno, is a guarantee for teamwork and success. And that is what the Sfas Emes says is the ultimate way to bring the Geula. But there's another thing that Achdus brings, and that we read in Parshas Yisro as we approach Matan Torah weeks away. The Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar, the Klal Yisrael stood together Keneged Ahar at the foot of Har Sinai. Rashi quoting Chazal famously asks, Vayichan? It should say Vayachan in the plural, Klal Yisrael were coming together. What do you mean Vayichan? Vayichan is Lashon Yochid. Says Rashi, yes, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. When Klal Yisrael come together as a unit, it's not Vayachanu. It's not different camps and different tents, north, west, south, and east. But it's Vayichan, we're together. And when we're together, that's when Matan Torah comes. That's when there's a Kabbalah Satorah. When there's a united front, when there's a team, when there's a tzibur, Kal Kodosh. When Klal Yisrael comes together, we're zochet to Matan Torah, we're zochet to Gula, we're zochet to success, and we're zochet to Nechama. This is the achdus that's necessary, and this is the unity that we're looking for, waiting for, pining for, and working for. But let me share with you a basic misconception in what achdus is. Achdus doesn't mean that we agree, that we're all together, we think the same, we act the same. That's not what achdus is. We have Ashkenazim, we have Sfaradim, we have Hasidim, we have Litvaks, we have all types and stripes. Yichidus, individuality, is first. We have to be ourselves. I have my strengths, you have your strengths. This community does this better than the other community. But that's what makes the tapestry of Klal Yisrael come together. We have to agree to disagree. We don't disagree, but we agree to disagree. Achdus doesn't mean we talk the same language, we think the same thing, and we all agree on every single tenet or any philosophical truth, or we have the same psak. There's Beis Hillel, there's Beis Shammai. There's Rav and there's Shmuel. There's the Shulchan Aruch, there's the Ramah. There's the Rambam, the Hagayis Mamonios. We're not all the same. But the ability to be able to be misachid is when we hear each other, when we understand each other, when the different parties are able to interact and understand each other. Achdus doesn't mean we're exactly the same. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar. Am Echad, Safa Echad. That doesn't mean that we're identical, but we appreciate each other. It's like a puzzle. The pieces are different. But when you put every piece of the puzzle into the other one, that's when it makes the perfect puzzle picture. Because each and every single part of the puzzle is different. But it's the difference that makes the puzzle beautiful. It's like when you have a canvas. If it's the same color, it's not so beautiful. But if there are different colors that come together on the canvas, and the purple and the pink and the red and the orange and the white and the background and the black, when it all comes together, then it looks gorgeous. But when every color is unique and identical and different than the other, then we're successful. But you need to bring that together with its own identity. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah, the first parak of Meseches Avos. Im ein ani li mili. I need to be myself. I need to express my sense of individuality. I need to be who I am, act the way I am, because that's who I am. Baruch shani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I'm only internally focused, if I'm unable to look out and see others and the success in others, ma'ani, what am I? Klal Yisrael needs achdus, yes. But the achdus can only stem from successful individuality. Yichidus leads to achdus. And our ability to succeed as independent communities and individuals, that's what's going to allow the beauty of the canvas, of the tapestry of Klal Yisrael to come to fruition. It's going to bring the geula, it's going to bring Kabbalah Satorah, it's going to bring success, and it's going to bring Nechama. But let me read with you the last pasuk of the Nechama and share with you a mind-blowing commentary of Rav Hirsch. Those of you familiar with Hirsch will appreciate this. Those of you not yet familiar with the commentaries of Rav Hirsch, this is a classic piece of Rav Hirsch, and I hope will inspire you to study other pieces of Rav Hirsch. And the last pasuk in Parshas Bichukosa, the Psukei Nechama that I'm referring to, the Torah says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov. I will remember the covenant of Yaakov. V'af es brisi Yitzchak, and I'll remember the covenant of Yitzchak. V'af es brisi Avram, and I'll remember the covenant of Avram. V'ha'aretz eskor, and I will remember the land.
in what seems like a very basic, innocuous, simple, straightforward pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, will be guaranteed, and the land will be remembered and recalled. Everything will be hunky-dory, happy, wonderful, nechama, compassion, wonderful, beautiful. Rav Hirsch has four questions on this pasuk, bomb questions. Question number one. If you read the pasuk carefully, it goes in descending order. V'zachat esprisi Yaakov, esprisi Yitzchak, v'esprisi Avram. Asks Rav Hirsch, why is it going in descending order? Why not start, I'll remember the covenant of Avram, the covenant of Yitzchak, and the covenant of Yaakov. From son to grandson. Avram, grandfather, Yitzchak, son, Yaakov, grandson. That would be the logical, chronological way to cite the pasuk. Why, asks Rav Hirsch, do we start with Yaakov to Yitzchak and then to Avram? Question number two, if you read the pasuk and the word carefully, Yaakov, usually in all of Tanakh, is spelled Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vez. Here it's a Vav. Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vav, Vez. There's an added Vav. Asks us first, why in this pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai does the Torah add the letter Vav to Yaakov's spelling? Contemporarily, many who have the name Yaakov add the Vav. That's a more modern way to spell the name Yaakov. But in classic Tanakh spelling of Yaakov, it's Yud, Ayin Kuf Vez. That's question number two. Question number three asks Rav Hirsch, why does the word bris have to be written next to Yavram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? The pasuk can simply say, V'zachartis brisi Yaakov, Yitzchak, v'Avram. Why v'zachartis brisi Yaakov, afis brisi Yitzchak, v'afis brisi Avram? Why does the word bris covenant have to be written next to each Av? And finally, the fourth question asks Rav Hirsch, if you read the pasuk again carefully, V'zachartis brisi, it should say, Im Yaakov, es brisi im Yitzchak, ves brisi im Avraham. Why does it say bris Yaakov, bris Yitzchak, bris Avraham? That's not grammatically correct. It should say brisi im Yaakov, brisi im Yitzchak, and brisi im Avraham. Bris Avraham, bris Yitzchak, bris Yaakov? Where's the im? Four questions that Rav Hirsch asks, powerful questions on this pasuk. Hirsch explains as follows, the way to understand the answer to these four questions is an appreciation of the lives of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, as we all know, lived almost the perfect life. He was referred to as Nisi Elokim. Everybody looked up to him in Mesopotamia. Avram was the man who found monotheism, found God. He was the person who stood on a pedestal who all of mankind, humanity, looked to. He was the Machnes Orchim. He was looked up to. He was the king of kings. He was a celebrity, a success. People flocked to him. That was the life of Avram, and thus he was misake and enacted Tfilas Shacharis, which is the light, which is day. Avram had a clarity. He lived a life of sun, of perfection. No disharmony, no challenges, no difficulties, no issues, perfection. His son Yitzchak lived similar, but began to be envied. Envied by the Plishtim, envied by others. He was wealthy, he was successful, he was the son of Avram. But there began to be contention, and people looked after him. They were jealous. This is the son of Avraham. And look what he has. And look at the wealth that he acquired. And look, he's the son of this great man. But people started becoming jealous of him. The Plishtim, etc., started to fight him. So yes, on the one hand, while Yitzchak was successful, on the other hand, there started to be an element of contention, of fighting. Yaakov was just the opposite, the polar opposite. Yaakov lived the stressful, difficult, painful trials and tribulations. He suffered from his brother Esav. He suffered from his father-in-law Avram. His daughter Dina was kidnapped and abducted. His son Yosef was lost for upwards of 20 years. Yaakov, pain and suffering, trial and tribulation. And Yaakov was there for misaking tefillas arvis, marv, night. The munas chabalelos, that's all Yaakov had, as opposed to Yitzchak, who was mincha, which is somewhere in the middle of the day, good, bad, right, wrong, positive, negative, and Avram, of course, is shachros, pure goodness, kindness, and righteousness. Says Rav Hirsch, that in every galus we're in, there are elements of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Jew goes through three different type of exiles. The Jew goes through the exile of Yaakov, where there's ghettos and persecution and Holocaust and pogrom and Inquisition. That's night, that's darkness, that's Yaakov. That's evening, that's Marev, suffering and pain.
And says Rav Hirsch that we start with that galus in the history of world Jewry. And thus the pasuk starts, V'zacharti as brisi Yaakov. God will be with us during that difficult, painful galus. But if we're successful through the pogroms and persecution and the Holocaust and the Inquisition and the darkness, and we pass that stage and that phase, we get to stage two. It's the exile of Yitzchak, where we're successful but envied. Throughout Jewish history, you look and you see throughout Eastern Europe and the like, there are times when the Jew became so successful that he was chased out of town. Done so well successfully financially that the envy and the jealousy caused fury and fighting. That's the gullus of Yitzchak. It's the gullus of Mincha. It's the middle of the day. And it's that gullus that we need to pass and get through. And if we're able to pass and get through that one with flying colors, we move to the ultimate last stage of gullus, the gullus of Avraham, where we're successful in the gullus and where it's the sun and we're on top of the world. Nobody is envious of us. We're successful financially. We're successful physically. We're successful spiritually. Across the gamut, there's total perfection. It's the gullus of Avraham Avinu. And in the language of Hirsch, whether their fate be like that of an Avraham, bright, rich, and honored, or of a Yitzchak, rich, but envied and disliked and rebuffed, or of a Jacob, full of trials and troubles, in all cases they have to bear themselves and behave as true and faithful sons of the covenant, and says Rav Hirsch, that's why the pasuk goes in descending order. We start with the gullus of Yaakov and we pass it, we get to the gullus of Yitzchak, we pass it, we get to the gullus of Avram. And therefore, says Rav Hirsch, that's why there's no im in the pasuk. There's something called the Bris Yaakov. There's something called the Bris Yitzchak, and there's something called the Bris Avraham, which means that there's a covenant of a gullus, the likes of Avraham, the likes of Yitzchak, and the likes of Yaakov. It's a guarantee, it's the ultimate nechama, that whatever gullus we're in, the brightest to the darkest to the mid, that's a bris, that's a covenant, that's a guarantee. And it's automatic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with us from the greatest Golias to the most successful to the most painful and desolate, trying and difficult and unsuccessful. Therefore, says Rav Hirsch, we go from Bris Yaakov to Bris Yitzchak to Bris Avraham. And when we pass that, says the Pasuk, V'ha'aretz Ezkor. Once we get through those three brisim, then ultimately, the ultimate bris, we will return to Eretz Yisrael. But we need to go through these stages. We need to go through these different types of Golios. The Bris Yaakov, the Bris Yitzchak, the Bris Avram, and therefore Yaakov is written with a Vav to accentuate this point. That yes, there's Bris Yaakov with a Vav, even in Golos, even in desolation and difficulties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still be with us, even in the pain and the suffering, with a Vav. And it's strong and it's powerful. And therefore, that's the bris has to be written by each and every single one of the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in each of these three covenants that exist. And when we pass that, when we get through Yaakov, when we get through Yitzchak, when we get through Avram, then ultimately, Va'aretz Ezkor, we will get to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know which gullus we are in now. I don't know if we've seen Gullus of Yaakov. I don't know if we've seen Gullus of Yitzchak. I don't know if we're in Gullus of Avraham. But one thing that I do know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in each of these Golios. And there is going to be, within the curse, there is a blessing. Within the Klala, there's a Bracha. Because there's a Bris with Avraham, a Bris with Yitzchak, and a Bris with Yaakov. We need to get through it. We need to know that there's a Nechama. And if we're Ma'ached, if we're together, if there's unity, camaraderie, friendship, and brotherhood, then Klal Yisrael will have Nechama, they'll have Matan Torah, they'll have Kabbalah Satorah, they'll have Geula, they'll have Yeshua. And that's why this parsha, the Gemara says, Maseches Megillah, also on Daf Lamed Aleph, must be read prior to Shavuos. We need to read this parsha, Parshas Bechukosai, to remind us, Tichle Shana V'Kila Losel, let's finish these Klalos in this past year. Let's start Shavuos as a new year, a new beginning. And begin to see the light, the summer, the warm days, the wonderful days ahead.